Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. Today we'll continue our verse-by-verse study through the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. The title of this sermon is, May Christ Dwell in Your Hearts Through Faith. Here is the first half of this two-part study.
The beginning of the second prayer in the by the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians. Now, Paul is writing this letter to the church of Ephesus, and he's not really dealing with any major problems that are going on within the church. But he is talking about how the two different polar opposite groups that are coming to faith, the Jews and the Gentiles, they wanted to kill each other. But now we learned last week that they are part of the family of God, that God draws them together. And that should be the same for us, for people that become followers of Christ, is that they're drawn together as Christ takes residence in the heart. We also learned about the immeasurable riches of Christ, that sometimes I believe what we do as believers is we believe our God is poor for some reason. Like, we don't ask. He tells you to keep knocking, keep seeking, keep asking. His riches are immeasurable. And the church today, I don't think, understands that. The church has become too dependent on the church. You know, again, we've talked about the importance of the Holy Spirit taking residence in the heart, but he talked about the inner man, the new creation. And he talked about that new man having the strength that comes through the Holy Spirit. But I can tell you as a believer, you will not have the strength to walk this walk as a follower of Christ if you're not connected to the power of the Holy Spirit. Meaning that you don't spend time in God's Word. Meaning that you don't spend time in prayer. Meaning that you don't spend time applying God's Word in your life. Having fellowship. All those things create divide. And he's telling you to have that inner man to be strengthened, to be connected to the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to have that as a follower of Christ. We cannot walk this walk with Jesus without it. And today, one of the things he deals with is the divine measurements of the love of Christ, the depths, that you would be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. And those are hard for us to wrap our heads around sometimes. That the love of Christ, and we'll talk about this as we go, it's understanding what is the biblical definition of love. Not the world's. What is the biblical definition of love in the Bible is agape love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that expects nothing in return. Right? And that we are to be rooted and grounded in that. And so our first point as we look at it is deep faith rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. In verse 17, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And I love what it says in the New Living Translation. It gives you this just to wrap your heads around this. As it says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Now that's a simple way of looking at it. The word dwell in the Greek actually means that it is a place where Christ settles. It is to be at home. That's what Christ does when he comes into the heart of a believer. So is Christ at home in your heart? One of the books we had to read when I was in school is it talked about the residence of Christ in your heart, that Christ dwells in your heart. And he talked about if the easiest way to wrap your head around that is if you have your house, is there a room that Christ can't go into? Some of you have said the prayer, right? Confess your sins, and you've left Christ on the front porch. You haven't let him in. There's no growth. There's nothing happening in your life. See, Christ is like, hey, I'm going to go in the living room. I'm going in the kitchen, right? All those dirty dishes of unforgiveness and past hurts and past relationships, I'm going to clean all that up. It's going. All that little, see, it used to be back in the day. Now it's just on the, you know, it's on our phones. You have pornography on your phones now. I can't hand my phone over to Christ. If he's taking residence in your heart, he needs it. Because he's going to get rid of some stuff. And so is there a room in your house that you're going, no, you can't touch that stuff. That's a hurt from my childhood. I don't want to deal with that. And Christ is saying, no, if I'm dwelling in your heart, that means to settle down in the Greek. That Christ settles down in your heart. That means he's there to make you, remember we talked about the inner man as what? A new creation. A new self. He's getting rid of the old. And that means as he takes residence in the heart, he is going to get rid of some stuff. That needs to go. In John 14:23, it says, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. It's through faith. We continue to trust Christ, and he has the lordship of our life. And as we abide, we completely give control over to God. As we allow Christ to permeate and dwell in our heart, it overflows in our heart. Anybody in Texas knows that when you cook brisket, you need to make sure that you season the brisket, and then some people inject it. That word permeate actually just means that just think about that brisket. When you cut it, you don't want dry brisket. You want it wet. It permeated the meat. It's overflowing out of the meat when you take it out. That's what Christ needs to do with your heart. It needs to be permeating out into the rest of your life. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, it says, now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. You need to highlight that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. You know that everyone who what? Keeps his righteousness? No, practices. Why? You're going to mess up. As good as you think you are, you're going to falter. That's why he uses the word practice. You're practicing it. You're practicing holiness. You're practicing righteousness. Because you are going to mess up. And I love that he's saying, hey, look, I know that you're practicing righteousness, but you're still my children. How many of your kids practice righteousness every day? You go, man, how come they can't get this right? I've asked them over and over to do this, but they don't listen. As a father, as a mother, you're practicing like, okay, let's talk about this. Let's try to get this fixed. Our Heavenly Father does the same with us. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we are going to abide in Christ, we must abide in his word. We have to hear his word. We have to read his word. We have to not only hear it and read it, but actually apply it. If Christ is going to dwell in your heart, you need his word. It tells you in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It says, for you are the temple of the living God, and he dwells in you. Dwells in your heart through what? Faith. Through faith. That you may be rooted and grounded in love. Now the picture here is, the word rooted there is one of a tree. Now for us, and you know, y'all don't have trees here, that big trees here. Where I come from, we have trees. But we have these one trees that I'm not sure what they do. They're called pine trees. They pretty much just make a mess of the yard, and they go straight up. They don't really provide shade. But let me tell you something. If there's a storm, every tree in the yard is going to be down except those pine trees. Why? The pine tree's roots go deep. They're deep down into the dirt. Their stability is no different than a palm tree. You got 60, 70 mile an hour winds. You have hurricane winds. And what happens is you have the palm trees are still up because they have stability. They have stability. And that's for us, for, you know, as we look at our, as Christ dwells in our hearts, we're to be rooted and grounded in love. And that is to have good soil so the roots can go deep. It's like the way that Christ is explaining this, is Paul's explaining this, is to be rooted in the love of Christ means that even during the drought, the tree can withstand it. Think about that just for a second. Even during the drought, like right now, that little bit of rain we got, it's enough to keep those trees going until September here in Texas. That little bit of rain. Now the grass will be yellow by the end of July, right? But the trees will still be going. Because why? Their root systems are deep. They're prepared for droughts. You know, it tells us in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaves do not wither." So how do you have your tree have deep roots? How do you have your faith have deep roots? Well, you need to be meditating on the law day and night. You need to be in the Word of God. Now, pastors will tell you this over and over and over and over. You need to spend time with God daily. You're not going to grow if you're, you know, we talked about it this past week. If this is not what guides your life, right? If you never open this, how do you know your direction for your life? How do you hear from God? The easiest way to hear from God is to open His Word. And so what He tells you in that verse and in that psalm, He's telling you, like, you don't sit, you don't stand, you don't congregate or walk with sinners. You don't have anything to do with that. You meditate on the law day and night. Now, many Christians meditate on a lot of different stuff, but it ain't the law. And so you're feeding, what are you putting in the soil, right? Are you tending the soil? If you want the roots to go deep, you have to tend the soil. He tells you that you're not only rooted, but you're grounded in love. Now, that term there is for the foundation. I found out this week that I have foundation issues, which is a wonderful thing. Why y'all build concrete in Texas makes no sense to me, right? If you put the houses up and then you can go underneath them, then you can make the adjustments to the house so it doesn't shift. But when you put the foundation in the ground shifts, and guess what happens in Texas? The ground's always shifting because we don't get rain all the time, right? I noticed I had a gap, pretty good gap between the foundation and the ground, and I was like, man, this is not good. Saw some bricks starting to push out. See, a good foundation is everything. For us, you know, just like my house, is you start seeing those cracks happening because your foundation's not strong. You start seeing the brick. One of the bricks is pushing out. And I'm like, oh, that's not good. Time to sell the house, right? But what we're talking about here is, like, for the believer, the foundation is everything. It's so when you have those spiritual attacks and you have those trials and tribulations that happen and the sufferings that happen, you have stability. You're grounded in love. Your roots are deep, but you're grounded. You have stability. You can stand firm. As we get into Ephesians 6 and we start talking about the armor of God, you're going to have to stand firm. And let me tell you, if you're a dad, a husband, a father, you need to stand firm because they are coming after your wife and your kids. The enemy is not stopping it. He's doing everything he can to try to pull people away. And for us, we need to have stability. We need to have a foundation where our marriage is strongly has a strong foundation. Our family in Christ has a strong foundation. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, "And he does in all the letters when he speaks in them in these matters, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do not do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawlessness and lose your own stability." Right now we have something called progressive Christianity, where they're trying to adapt all these things that go against God's word. And I heard Vody Bachman actually share, he was teaching on Ephesians chapter 5. And he goes, "Wife, submit to your husbands." He goes, "Wait, guess what? We're at war with the culture right now because they don't agree with the patriarchy." And it's just this, as he's going through the scripture, you're just seeing one thing that the culture doesn't accept. But wait a minute. You can have a wife and a wife married. No, you can't. Not according to God's word. Right? Don't let them twist the scripture. Because progressive Christianity does that. They twist the scripture to make it fit. We're seeing a split in the United Methodist Church now, because they've accepted to allow gay marriage, and they've accepted to allow gay pastors, and there's been a split. And so we see, you go, "Well, that would never happen." You need to be stable. You need to be grounded. You need to have stability in your foundation to know what you believe. But if you never open the Word of God, how are you going to know? And I don't say that to guilt you. What I say that for is just, you know, even if you listen to it, I know a lot of you spend time in traffic. Lord knows if, you know, it's not as bad as California, but Lord knows if you're here in Texas and San Antonio, you're going to be in traffic at some point. Put on the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. You need to be fed. You need to be ready. If you're going to have the love of Christ in you, and you're going to be grounded and rooted in God's love, you need to work on your foundation. Don't allow people to twist you up. We're told to build our house on the rock in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. It says, Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I love that, because I've seen that verse lived out. We were in the National Training Center, and all of our tents were on the sand. Let me tell you something. When it rains in the desert, it is a flood. And we watched all of our tents go down like a river, just taken away like it was nothing. They were on the sand in the desert. They were gone just that quick. That's why he tells you, like, does he tell you in that verse that you're not going to have rain, you're not going to have flood, you're not going to have wind because you have a foundation? No, he tells you these things are coming. And so you need to have a strong foundation to be rooted and grounded. And one of the things he's talking about is the unconditional love of agape love. That's what you're rooted and grounded in. See, love is the soil which our lives have to be rooted. And it's the rock that we're set upon, our faith rests upon. We live a life as Christians as in love that is a life of selflessness and kindness and meekness. But we are to be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, "So now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love." Why? You're not going to need faith and hope when you're in heaven. You're there. But you will continue to love eternally. God's love will continue to go on eternally, and you will love others in heaven. And you go, "But there's this person, I can't love them here." Well, guess what? You're not going to have your sin nature. But God is saying, "Look, that person that you don't love here, I'm trying to do some work in your heart, because you're not giving me access to that room, and it needs to go." And in order to get that bitter root out, I'm going to have to do some work. See, when we look at the love of Christ, I love the love of Christ because it is the unconditional love. It is the fruit of the Spirit. As we look at Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." Now, does the Christian produce the fruit of the Spirit? No, the Holy Spirit does. But do you see what it starts with? It starts with love. Without love, you're not doing anything else with the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it's not, if you don't have that, you're stuck. So he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. The origin of love is divine. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "He does not love, does not know God, for God is love." Now, there's a great series that Pastor Skip Isaac did that talked about the love of Christ. And one of the things he talked about is because God is love, and because God loves you when you are yet a sinner. God loves the drag queen. God loves the homosexual, right? God loves the adulterer. God wants to have a relationship with all of them, but they have to choose to follow them. They have to choose in their heart to confess their sins and repent. They have to choose to follow Jesus Christ. But he loved you when yet you were a sinner. And I've said that before. I knew me. I didn't love me. And yet his divine love, he's telling you that God is love, but he who does not love does not know God. And we'll talk about love and truth at the end of this, because I believe it's very important. I'm not going to just love you into heaven. I have to share the truth with you, because it tells you that. Paul partners those two things together. God's love is divine. God's love is righteousness and goodness. And it's part of his attribute. We talked about that this past weekend, this past Wednesday, as we talked about the attributes of God. What is going to help you when you're in the storm? Those deep roots, that grounded foundation, is going to be knowing the understanding the attributes of God, that he's all-knowing, he stands outside of time, that he's loving, that is not based upon what you do, that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. You need to remember that. I love 1 John 4:19. It says, "When we love him because he first loved us." The love of God was the most costly thing known to heaven and earth. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." It cost Jesus his life because he loved you. The sin that you have, I have in the world, and put it upon himself because he loved us. The love of God is free to all who receive it. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." The love of God is universal. It's in its offering. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The love of God is great and is unbounded in its work. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, "But God, who is rich in his mercy, because his great love with which he loved us." God's love is unchanging and forever. In John 13:1, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." The love of God is inseparable. You need to highlight this verse or write this one down. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for slaughter. And yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a beautiful verse. Love of God is perfect. In 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And finally, in all that we do in love. In 1 Corinthians 13:3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not loved, it profits me nothing.
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.